Okay, let's get started with Chulin Daf Hey. Chulin Daf Hey, we are on Dalet Amud Beis. We are in the important sugya of Mumar La'avodah Zarah. We quoted the sheet of Rav Anan Amar Shmuel. Rav Anan Amar Shmuel was in the middle of Dalet Amud Beis. Rav Anan held that somebody is Mumar La'avodah Zarah. He is not a Mumar L'chala Torah Kula, and therefore one is allowed to eat from his Shechita. That's how we got into this this discussion. Mumar La'avodah Zarah is Mutar L'chol Mishchitaso. That was the Shechita of Rav Anan. So we are trying to go through the Gemara about what exactly is the proof for that. What does he know that from? So the Gemara tried to say maybe there's a proof from a story in Tanakh, not just from a Braisa, but even going all the way back to Tanakh, because Yehoshaphat HaMelech, Melech Yehuda, ate from the Seuda that Achav prepared for him. Achav was one of the wicked kings, and he prepared Bakar, he shechted, his men shechted for Yehoshaphat. He was trying to convince Yehoshaphat to come fight with him, and the psukim seem to say that he convinced him, and the Gemara had the amazing line yesterday at the end of the shiur where the Gemara says, and you can never convince anybody of anything unless you serve them food. So therefore, it must be that he served them food and he convinced him in that way. So we are in the middle of, we're in the process of figuring out whether that is a good raya or not. So we are about 12 lines up for the bottom. Last word on the line is Vidilma. The Gemara says now, Vidilma Ovadia Zavach. Maybe the Navi Ovadia, who was the only Navi that was still alive at the time, that he didn't kill out, that Achav didn't kill out. Maybe Ovadia shechted, because Ovadia was with him. So maybe there's no Raya from there that a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to trust his Shechita. Because maybe Ovadia did it. Answer, Larov Tziv. No, it says that there was a tremendous amount of animals that were shechted. Ovadia L'Avodah Sapik. He couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done so many animals. Interesting, he was a Navi. No, he couldn't have shechted a lot of animals. But the Gemara assumes that here he couldn't have done it. By the way, that's the answer to a trivia question. Ovadia is one of the... how many times do you lay an entire sefer for a haftorah? So Ovadia is the one that... you know, people get Echa, and people get... not Echa, it's a haftorah, but people get Yonah, and... one or two others, but Ovadia is the Haftarah for Parshas Vayishlach. It's all about the Esav and the descendants. So it's only one parak. The whole Sefer is only one parak. That's why it's he laid the entire Sefer for the Haftarah. Okay, so he couldn't have done all so many animals. Next question, Vidilma Shivas Alafim Zavuach. There were 7,000 righteous people that were left in the times of Achav. Maybe they were the ones that shechted. So, Dechsiv, Vihisharti bi Yisrael, Shivas Alafim, Kol HaBirkayim Asher Lo Karu L'Baal, the knees that did not bend to bow, the ones that weren't over the Avodah Zarah, maybe they were the ones that shechted. So again, it's no riot to Rav Anan. So Gemara says, no, Temuri Havi Mitamri Me'izevel, they were hiding. They were hiding from Achav's wife, from Izevel, who was actually the one who a lot of the wicked actions that Achav did were because he had the wife of Izevel that convinced him. So they were hiding. They couldn't have shechted. The Dilma Gavri da Achav Havi Malu. One second. So maybe only Achav was wicked. Maybe his men weren't so bad. And they shechted. So the rest of the Losakadadach. It's impossible to have a wicked leader with righteous people. Once you have the wicked leader, that's going to be Mashpia. He's going to surround himself with people like him. And therefore, there's no way that that could be a suggestion. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Moshel Makshiv al Dvar Sheker, Kol Mishor Savrishayim. If you have a Moshel that listens to Dvar Sheker, that lives his life based on Sheker, lives his kingdom and his authority based on Sheker, so then all of the ones that serve him will also be wicked. The Gemara continues. The Gemara persists and tries to get out of this raya. Vidilma Gavri, and also it's a raya of bringing a raya from Navi. So you might say, obviously, I mean, they were post-Matan Torah. We're not bringing a raya here from Torah. Maybe we'll have a shir about that next week. We'll have an Ian shir about the of us keeping the Torah before it was given. I don't know if I've ever given the Daf Ian shir about that, but that's a good topic to hopefully discuss. So Vidilma Gavri di Yehoshaphat Nami lo havi malu. So maybe Yehoshaphat's men were also not proper, did not follow halacha. And therefore, what would be the suggestion? Zavuach gavri da'achav, achol gavri d'Yehoshaphat. So Achav's men took care of Yehoshaphat's men. Zavuach Ovadia, achol Yehoshaphat. And Ovadia was the one that shechted one animal, and Yehoshaphat ate from that animal. So again, we still don't have a raya that a mumar l'avodah zarah is not a mumar l'chal ha'tara kula, which we'll see in the middle of today's daf, which is, by the way, we don't paskin that way, but that's the suggestion. The Gemara says, that we cannot have that suggestion. Again, what's the suggestion? That Achav's men, who were not righteous, shechted for Yehoshaphat's men, who were not righteous. Ovadia, who obviously was a Navi, he shechted for Yehoshaphat. So we can't suggest that. Lo sakadai dechwai, mi de moshel makshav adavar sheker, kol mishar sev rishayim, hal adavar emes mishar sev sadikim. From Mishlei, if it says one direction, we can learn the other direction. If the pasuk of Mishlei says that a wicked king surrounds himself with wicked servants and wicked advisors, so Yehoshaphat, who was a tzaddik, he must have surrounded himself with righteous advisors. And therefore, you can't suggest that Achav's men served the meat for it, that it would be a riot anyway, because they were over there by the Zara, Achav's men. And if they shechted, and if they prepared for Yehoshaphat's men, so again, it wouldn't have been they must have been righteous as well. V'dilma, one more try. V'dilma zavuach gavri da'achav achal achav v'gavre. Maybe they all ate from their own, right? They didn't eat out, right? All of these men. Maybe Achav's men prepared Achav's meals. Achal achav v'gavre. Zavuach gavri di'yoshafat achal yoshafat v'gavre. And Yehoshaphat's men, they got the animals from Achav, but it wasn't like we discussed a little bit yesterday, all the Bishal Akam and Chalav Akam and Stam Yenam, all those sugyas doesn't apply by an animal. If a guy gives you an animal, there's no reason not to be able to shecht it. So maybe Achav's been prepared for Achav's food, and Yehoshaphat's prepared for Yehoshaphat's. So Gemara says, Lo havi mefalag nafshi minei. It couldn't be. Yehoshaphat would not have separated himself so much from Achav, because they ultimately became good friends. Okay, that's another question that some of the Achronim ask. I didn't see it in the Rishonim, and that is, we know the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Achav did tshuva at the end. So he did tshuva at least for a certain moment. So when did this story take place? Look at Tanakh. Is that clear whether this was before he did tshuva or after? If it was after, maybe he's not a mumar anymore. Right, does the status of Mumar stay permanently? For certain halachas, it stays. We've discussed the end of Menachas. There were Tosfos that discussed if a Kohen. If a Kohen worships Avodah Zarah, then he does tshuva. Is he allowed to duchen? Right, if a Kohen, Tosfos relates it to, if a Kohen, Rachman al-Aslan, kills, right, is he allowed to duchen? Even by accident, a Kohen that Ravadia Yosef has a tshuva, the Kohen kills somebody in a car accident. Is he allowed to duchen? And he's machalik. Was he following the law? Was it shogig? Was it mezer? Was it ones? So Rav Avadia paskens, if it was his fault, he can't duchen. He can't duchen, even if he does shuv. Achlokas machaber the Rama. If a kohen who's a rotzeach, that does shuv, if he can duchen, but there are certain statuses that might not change, even if it's not their fault. So it could be a mumar as well. Even if mumar was his fault, but it could be that there's a certain element that does not change. That relates to the sugya of Achav. But the Gemara here says that it can't be that they each prepared for their own groups, because Yehoshaphat was too connected to Achav. He wouldn't have separated himself. See the Rashi on top? Lo haya Yehoshaphat nizhar v'nivdal mimenu mishum chshad klal. Right, because he wouldn't have been choshed him. He would have just taken part. So the maskana right now, so far, there is a raya, because he ate from Achav's meat, and therefore that's a raya. Mumar la'avodas kachavim is not a mumar l'chol atzar kul, and therefore he's allowed to shecht, eat from his meat. So minalan, where do you know? Where do we see in the psukim that Yehoshaphat and Achav are so close? So ilema midechsev. Kamoni kamocha ka'ami ka'amecha. It sounds like a Rus pasuk, but this is a pasuk that Yehoshaphat said to Achav. I'm like you, and you're like me, and my nation's like you. Ka'ami ka'amecha. There were different groups. One was right. Yehoshaphat was Melech Yehuda. Right throughout Malachim, right, the Malachos was split, starting from Shlomo, the time of Shlomo's son, starting from Achavim. So there was. It was Ka'ami Ka'amecha, the Pasuk calls it two nations. That might just be that Lomaisa, they felt like two nations. But it also could be that, relates to that Ramban that we've discussed in the past of Parshas Vayechi, whether the whole line of Malchi Yisrael was legal, Lahalacha. The Ramban, if you remember, in the context of the Lo Yasur Shevet Miyehuda, of course, a long discussion there where he says there's an Issa D'Oraisa for anybody to be a king other than from Malchus Beis David. And therefore, even though maybe at the time of Rechavim, Yeravim and Nevad had to become the king, because it was an onesh for Shlomo HaMelech, and it was an onesh at that time, but right after that, they should have come back to the fold. Because they have no right to be any other king. And that's why he says the Chashbonoim were in sin, because the Chashbonoim were Kahanim, Right? Matthias Malchus Kohen Gadol. They should have won the war and then stepped aside and then let Malchus Yehuda take over. Not all Rishonim agree to this. Right? The Rambam gives no inkling of anything wrong that the Chashmonaim did. You don't get that sense from the story of Hanukkah. But the Ramban says there was a big downside to the whole story. And that's why he says, not only the Ramban can say this, and that's why he says the Chashmonaim were tragically destroyed a couple hundred years later. There were no more left. Right? The Gemara in Bava Basra says there was one little girl that went up on a roof and said, I'm the last one of the Chashmonaim. If anybody else says they wore their loins, I'm the last one. And she jumps off and commits suicide. So there were nobody left from the Hasmonean dynasty. So here the language of Ami Amecha, that Yehoshaphat is calling Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda as two nations, you don't have to say that's halachically two nations. You don't say that they're two groups now. There are two lines, Lamaisa, and therefore he calls it Ami Amecha. Anyway, but but you see from there that he's connecting his own people with Achav's people. So he says, I'm like you, our nations are together. So you see they're connected. And therefore he wouldn't have separated himself. But the Gemara says, come on. Elamayata, he also says, Kisusi Kisusecha. My horses are like your horses. Obviously he's just saying like a nice phrase to connect them. It doesn't mean that fundamentally they're connected. So how can he be medayik from that pasuk? So Hachanami, you want to say the horses? What does he just mean? He says, our destinies should be the same. Whatever happens to your horses should happen to my horses. It means we're going to go to war together. So, achanami, ma dahavi alach, vi ilavi amach, tehevi alive, ilavi ami. It just means that our nations should share the destiny. But still, that's not a raya that he feels so close to Achav. So this is the pasuk. Umelach Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat Melach Yehuda Yoshvim Ish Al Kiso Milubashim Bigadim Bigoren Pesach Shar Shomron. Right, the kings, talking about this time, and again in Malachim Aleph, the kings were sitting with their special royal vestments, Bigoren, in a Goren Pesach Shar Shomron, at the doorway of the gate of Shomron. So what does that mean? Goren is a threshing floor where they take the wheat. So there's a goren at the door of the Shar Shomron. So my goren, what does that mean that they were sitting there? Ile ma goren mamish, if it means literally a threshing floor. Atu Shar Shomron goren have. What, the gate of Shomron of the city was a goren? You don't make a goren at the threshing floor at the Shar Shomron. The Ritva adds, as the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, the Ritva says, Mishum Tahatzan Beperek Lo Yachmor, the second parak, that if you ever build a threshing floor, it's got to be at least 50 amas away from the city. There are certain things that have to be 50 amas away from the city, including a goren, including a beis hakvaris, the Mishnah says. That's one of the rayas that they suggest. Anybody been at the kever of David HaMelech, right near Shar Tzion? So they suggest that's about 50 amas from where Ir David is, where Silwan is. That's the suggestion, how they know David HaMelech is buried there. Because it's about 50 amas away from the city. Others say he can't be him. Either way, that's what the Minaga Olam is to assume, that David HaMelech is buried there, because 50 amas out. So the Ritva here says, a Goren is always 50 amas away from the city. So how can he say it's by the Shar? And he says, V'afilu b'chutz lo'aretz, v'kol shekein be'eretz Yisrael, di'ikim shimnoi ha'aretz. I could build a Goren, a threshing floor, right by the doorway of the city. So what does this pasuk mean? So Ela ki Goren. The word Goren must here just be alluding to something else. Ki goren, like a goren, ditnan. What does that mean? The Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin haisa kechatzi goren agula. The Sanhedrin sat in a semicircle. Kidei sheyu roen zeh. So they could see each other. Period. Okay, so what? How is that a riot to anything? So Rashi explains. Beautiful Rashi. Second skinny line. Begoren. Ki goren. Vahayu yoshvim bechiba ubereus uba aguda achas. You want to reflect love and affection between a group? You don't have anybody with their backs to each other. They're sitting in a semicircle. They all see each other. Kisanhedrin shein choshtiz zezeh. So that's the allusion. It says that the kings were sitting goren. That's an allusion to how the Sanhedrin sat in a semicircle. They didn't sit in a whole circle, because then how would you get in and out? So at least in a semicircle, you could see. If you look at Rashi in Sanhedrin, and Rashi here a little bit also, they also talk about other reasons why they sit. So they all could see each other when they argue. When you're talking to somebody, it's important to be face-to-face. So the Rosh of Sanhedrin, so the Nasi can be able to see everybody. So that's also why they all sat in that shape. Ava, the Chiba of Arayus. So in Magalias HaShasi quotes here, why didn't they sit, why Dafka circle? You could also sit in half a square. Right? You could also see each other. You have to have a circle, right? If you sit in half a square, you can also have three sides. You can also be able to see each other. He quotes from the Rebbe Me'Alexander. He says, "Mishurb shehemayu be'igol below chidudim ubelo arma v'kol echad yeda machshavas re'ehu." There are no pointy places. No pointy place, just nice round symbolizes softness and togetherness, right? If you have a circle, a square is a harsher shape. So therefore, maybe you don't want the squares. That's why you have the circle. Okay, the Rebbe from Alexander. Just one other ha'ara, and that is I saw in one of the achronim suggests that we already quoted a raya now from Yehoshaphat. The raya sticks. Now we're about to try to quote another raya from Eliyahu Navi. And the question is, we already have a raya. So it could be, in the back of the Gemara's mind, that Achav knew he was preparing for Yehoshaphat. So it could be that even though, usually, he did his own shechting, but it could be he got other people to do it because of the halacha, mumer la'avodas kochavim. So it's not a foolproof raya, even though the Gemara seemed to suggest it. The next raya we're going to see is where food was taken from Achav's kitchen, unbeknownst to him. So there's no way that he could have known anything in that case. That is why the Gemara continues now and brings a raya. By the way, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, when he talks about how a Rebbe should sit in front of his Talmidim, he also mentions that all the Talmidim should be able to be facing the Rebbe in a semicircle. Again, we don't really have that in our classrooms. We have rows, but at least the Rebbe to Talmidim, the Rambam might get it from here that the shape, the structure of the class should also be in this way. Okay, in Dalet Beis. If you want to look it up, I'll read it to you. I think I wrote it here. Dalet Beis, the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Rambam says, Ketzem Alamdin, Harav Yoshev Rosh V'atamidim Lefanav Mukafin Atara, like a crown, like a semicircle. Kadesh Yukulun Rowanis Harav V'shomin Dvarav. V'lo Yeshev Harav Alakisi V'atamidim Alakarka, O Ela O Akol Alaretz, O Akol Alakisos. Right, the Rebbe shouldn't have an extra comfortable chair. He should be sitting on the same chairs as the Talmidim. Abarishona haya Rav Yoshev Talmidim omdim mikodim churban vayishen inagu akol lalami l'talmidim ein yoshven. Okay, so certain things have changed over the past couple thousand years in terms of how we teach. Okay, vayter lem misayale. Let's try to bring another proof for the shita of Rav Anan Amar Shmuel that mumar la'avodazar is mumar l'chalatar akula. Is not a mumar l'chalat arkula. It's another example, by the way, of the Gemara going through a blot, trying to figure out a raya to a certain shita that we don't even paskin like. That's what Gemara does many times. That's another shita that I pledge that we're going to have this summer at some point for the Daf Pi'iyun. Why learn Gemara? The importance of learning Gemara, and the part of the reason of getting discussing why there's so much Gemara that's not l'maisa. So, Beis Hashem, hopefully, we'll have that shir as well at some point. Okay. Let us continue. So let me Messiah like v'ha'orvim miviim lo lechem u'baser baboker v'lechem u'baser ba'erev. In the times of Achav, Eliyahu Hanavi decreed years of famine because Achav was over to Vatazar and he wasn't willing to do tshuvas. Eliyahu Hanavi, with his power, decreed that there should be famine and a drought. There should be nothing, right? Hunger. Say, what did Eliyahu Hanavi do? He was also a human being. He's also so what did he do? So he went into hiding, and ravens brought him meat and bread every day. In the morning, meat and bread, in the evening. So ravens brought him. If you remember the Rashi from Parshas Noach, where Rashi quotes this story by the Orev. And it says that Rashi said that the Orev, that the Orev had a shlichus later on in history. This was the shlichus. Right? He had a shlichus later on. That the Orev brought Eliyahu Navi the food in the morning and food in the afternoon. The Amar of Yudam Arav, where'd the Orev get the food from? So you might say, I don't know, from anywhere. So, mibi tavchi da Achav. He got it from Achav's kitchen. Nobody else had food in those days. So he brought it from Achav's kitchen. So you see, Eliyahu Hanavi ate from Achav's shechita, and Achav's ben shechita. So it's a raya. So the Gemara answers, Apia Dibur Shiny. No, it's Ein Breira. Ein Breira, it's a Chadis Tafashal. Apia Dibur, he was allowed to eat from it, and therefore, even if you normally would say, against Rav Anan, even if you would say a Mumar La Avonis Kachavim is a Mumar La Chalatar Kula, he is different. Apia Dibur Shiny. Tosfos and other Rishonim here ask, why is the Gemara only bothered by the issue of Mumar Lavonis Kochavim? There's another issue that comes up in 90 blot from now. 3 months. Daf Tzadik Hei. The Gemara talks about an important sugya of Basar Shenis Ali Min Ha'ayin. If you have a piece of meat that went without anyone watching it, no hashgacha for a moment, that's a problem. That's why there's a difference in levels of hashgacha for milchiks and fleishiks. Fleishiks, if you have a fleishik restaurant, you need a mashgiach tvidi. Why? Because of this halacha of basar shenis ali min ha'ayim. There's not allowed to be a time that we might think that the meat might have been switched by someone who does not have ne'amanus. So why does the Gemara only worry about the shechita? What the bird brought the meat? Tosfos says v'yiptam right the saka daita to lavi apia dibur tikshi basar shesam na'im is asur. So Tosfos says v'yesh lomar. You don't know for sure that it's a problem. So even though it's normally a problem, you can assume that the raven got the kosher meat. But if you know it was shechted from Achav's kitchen, so then that mamash is a problem inherently. It's not just a chshash. So therefore, in the Hava Mina, or even in the Maskana Baal Pia Dibur, we don't assume that even in the question, we don't assume that there would be a problem Basar Salam and Ayin here, because the raven would have taken care of it. Okay, this is the question that the Rishonim deal with, Basar Salam and Ayin. The Achronim deal with another question, and that is, a Pia Dibur shiny, and therefore what? Eliyahu HaNavi knew he was allowed to do this? Are you allowed to paskin based on Nevuah? He had a Nevuah, a Pia Dibur! And it wasn't like a Navi got up to tell Klal Yisrael, Harasha, you're allowed to... It was a Pia Dibur, he knew he had this. Ask the Maritz Chayis. In the back, he says, how are you allowed to paskin based on a Navi? We know there's an important Rashi in Masechta Shabbos. I think he quotes it. You get the Lashon here? Maritz Chayis quotes, Rashi in Masechta Shabbos quotes, right, Daf Kuf Ches. Yisr beheter eino toli bo, delo b'shamayim hi. You're not allowed to paskin based on Nevuah. Right, so if somebody gets, if a Navi tells me, that's what we've quoted in the past, Teku. It's Teku and not Meku. Right, not Moshe Yatari. It's Teku, because Eliyahu Navi's involved in the world. He's still involved in the world. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is, cannot pass. He's not involved in the world. So how can you pass him based on Nevuah? So two fascinating answers. The Mitzvah Esan in the back says, there's a difference between the Navi himself passing based on his own Nevuah and telling others. Somebody else, if a Navi comes and tells us that this is the halacha and that's the halacha, you can't listen to him. Lo bashamayimi. Right, the Moshe, we mentioned a couple of days ago. Ramoshe nadam to Igris Moshe. He writes, there's an emes bashamayim, but emes lahora. I figure out the psak, and whatever I figure out, that's what I have to paskin like. Doesn't matter if a Navi comes and tells me that, that's wrong. But that's only for other people, paskining. For the Navi himself, he's allowed to listen to the Nevuah that he gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to paskin. That's the Mitzvah Esan, number one. Number two, the Maharas Chayis has another very sharp answer. And he says, when is a Navi not allowed to paskin? If he's telling you a Chiddush on Halacha. But if a Navi is just being megalis, something that is unknown, a Mitzias that is unclear, so then that's okay. That's okay. So he says, V'chein kan, im mitzad basar shenis ali min ha'ayin, ta'asafik shemen is chalif be'isr, mo'el kolach shel ha'nevuah levarer. That type of question, basar shel ha'nevuah, it's similar to a Tosfos. He's saying, this is pshat Tosfos. Right? A Navi's allowed to tell you, you know, what's a Metzias question. Is this what was here or not? A Navi can't paskin halacha. Nevuah can't paskin halacha. Mash'eki mitzad shchitas mumer lavar zara, she'in ha'vela, he can't change halacha. So that's why there's a difference with the two problems. Tosfos, the Rishonim, the Gemara is only bothered with Shechitas Akum problem, Shechitas Mumar problem, and not the problem of Basar Shenis Aleim Min Ha'ayin. Again, that's a huge discussion of paskening based on Nevuah, paskening based on dreams, on visions, that we've touched on in the past, but now we will continue for now. Okay, let's continue. So Gemara says, I'll be a Dibur, so therefore don't bring Marias to that. So Gemara, now that the story is brought up, we just ask, my Arvim, what does it mean, ravens brought the food? So Amar Avinu, Arvim Mamish, what do you mean, real ravens? Arvim, ravens brought the food. So Amar Le Rav Ada Bar Min Yomei, Doma Trey Gavri, Davi Shmayel Arvim. Maybe there were two people named Orav. And Arvim means the two people named Arvim. Miloksiv, don't we have elsewhere? Vayargo is Orav, but Sir Orav, that's the Evachulu. We have somebody named Orav. Right by the in Sefer Shoftim, when the Shofi went to fight, and there were certain people that did not help him, so on the way back he took care of them because they didn't come to help him, so they killed. So you see, Orav is the name of a person. So Amalei Yisramai Mil said that Shavai Orav Yisramai Orvim. What? Orav is such a common name that you can find two people named Orav. Right? So okay, one, but two people. Come on, can't be. So Vidil Mashem Akoman. Maybe he's talking about people, but he's talking about he's a Beit Shemesher. It's talking about the place. You can find two people from the same place. Right? What do we have here? Right, he's a Brooklynite. Right? He's a West Hempstonite. Right? Whatever you call them. Right? So maybe it's Al-Shem HaKomon. Milok Siv, doesn't it say, V'aram Yatsu Gedudim V'yishbu Me'eret Yisrael Na'ara Ketana. They captured a Na'ara Ketana. V'kashalon Karelak Ta'ara V'kharelak Ketana. How can you call one girl a Nara Ktana? Nara means she is above 12. Ktana means she's below 12. V'amarei B'dos, Ktana de Minuran. It means that she's from a place Nuran. So you see, maybe that's what it means. That Orvim is from a place called Orev. So Gemara says, Imkein Orvim mi Boilei. Should have used the plural Lashon, not the singular. Orvim cannot mean two different people. Okay, so that's the pshat what Orvim are. Period. So that's Araya. So another try. Lema Messiahle. Let's try to prove it again. And this one will ultimately lead us to the other sheet that we pass in like this try. Again, of a Mumar Le Avodas Kochad. Hakol Shochtin, Vefilu Kusi, Vefilu Orev Avisrael Mumar. The same Bryce we quoted yesterday. Anyone is allowed a Shecht, even a Kusi, that was yesterday's discussion, even an Arel, an uncircumcised person, even an Israel Mumar, a heretic, a high Arel Hechidami. What type of Arel are we talking about here? So we discussed yesterday the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Important Shita of Arel throughout Shas always means someone who does not want to get Mila. Somebody who cannot get Mila, Rabbeinu Tam always says, that is not called an Arel. But let's leave that for now. So, Ilema, who are we talking about in the Mish, in this Brisa that says an Arel is a lot of Shecht? Ilema, Shemesu Echamachmas Mila, that his brothers died, and therefore he's not allowed to get Mila. Hayisrael Ma'alyahu. So that's a good Jew. What's the Havamina that he wouldn't be able to Shecht just because he doesn't have Mila? Right? There's only three or four mitzvahs that he's excluded from. Elapshita Mumer La'arelo. So Arel here must mean he's a heretic for our Arlus. He's a Mumer. So then, and he's allowed to Shecht. So what does the next line in the Brisa mean? Ema Seifa, V'yafili Yisrael Mumar, Heichidami. Even Yisrael Mumar is on a Shech, so what's that talking about? E Mumar L'davar Echad, if that's talking about a Mumar for this context only, Sahayna Mumar L'Arolas. That's the same line, same thing that the previous line said. So El Olav, what must this line mean? Mumar L'Avodas Kachavim, Ukidir Rav Anan. It must be Mumar L'Avodas Zara, and the Brisa is telling me that somebody who is a Mumar L'Avodas Zara is allowed to Shecht. So it's a right to Rav Anan. So the Gemara answer is low. It's not true. Lo lemeim lecha mumar lavodas kochavim lo. Really, a mumar lavodas zara is not allowed to shecht. Why? De amar mar, because of the following statement which we paskin. Chamura avodas kochavim. Shekala kofer ba kamoda b'chala Torah kula. Anybody who denies avodas zara is as if he admits the entire Torah, and the opposite, of course, is true as well. Anybody who admits to avodas zara denies the entire Torah, meaning we reject Rav Anan. So the question is, before we'll talk about this more in a minute, but so what do you do with the Brisa? So how do you interpret the Brisa? The first line said Arel, the second line said Mumar. So how do you interpret the Brisa? Ela Mumar lo, so Davar ukidarava. The first line is a Mumar le Arel, and the second line is a Mumar le Oso Davar ukidarava. What does that mean? Rava said 2 days ago that if somebody is a Mumar lite avon, if somebody's not a Mumar because he hates God, he's a Mumar because, you know, what could he do? The Yetzer Hara, the taiva gets the better of him sometimes. So that type of person is a lot of shecht. So that's not the mumar that we're talking about. So those are the two types of mumars that are spoken about in the Brisa. So for there is no raya to Rav Anan. I think we mentioned once before in a parsha shir, a thought that related to this, that avodah zara, a mumar avodah zara is mumar l'chol tzar kula. There are certain mitzvos. There are seven that he talks about. I got an email that there might be more, but Rav Volbi has a sefer called Mitzvah Shkulos. So there he talks about seven mitzvahs that he found that are connected to Torah Kula, that are shakol connected to Torah Kula, a mitzvah Shkulos, he calls them. So there in the second parak is an unbelievable thought where he talks about Avodah Zarah is a kofer Avodah Zarah is Moda B'chol Torah Kula and vice versa. Why Avodah Zarah? And do we have Avodah Zarah nowadays? So he discusses there that every person in life has a value system, has a hierarchy in what they believe in. And everybody, certain people have money, certain people have exercise, certain people have sports. Everybody has a hierarchy in life. Torah and being an Eved Hashem has to be on the top of that hierarchy. If there is any value that is higher than being an Eved Hashem in my value system, that's Avodah Zarah. Because we think we don't have Avodah Zarah nowadays. Avodah Zarah means if there's any value in my life that I view as higher than being an Eved Hashem. And anything that does not lead to being an Eved Hashem. Right? Everything that we do, all the exercise that we do, and all the other interests that we have, it all has to lead to being an Eved Hashem. If there's anything that's not in that framework, then that's Avodah Zarah, says Rav Volbi. Zel kocha shel adam, hu koveya la'atzmo. I just happen to have this one in camp. Right, some of the other svarim today I don't have. Hu koveya la'atzmo sulam erkiyim shelo ad erko elyon. We all set our value system. Ein adam she'ein lo erach elyon b'chayav. There's no one that does not have a value system. every single person in life. It might be laziness, you know, whatever the value is. But gam hayom she'enam sogdim od leilo hey kesef azav. We're not bowing down to idols nowadays. Erko shalzehu kesef who shall kavod shall shlishi tanugim shall revi sport shall kamishi osev bulim stamp collector. Right, everybody has their might not be evil. Right? Some good values, but the and somebody might be politics. Right, so whatever it is, everybody has their olam ha'arachim. But it's all got to be in the context of being an Eved Hashem. If it's not, that's Avodah Zarah, and that's why Avodah Zarah is connected to Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what he says. That's why he goes through how each of these mitzvah shkulos, as he calls them, is a defining element in our life. He goes through Milah, Tzitzis, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, right? All of the ones that he talks about here. Okay, but that relates to our this first time we have it in the Masechta, that a mumar Avodah Zarah is a mumar Kol HaTorah Kula. Vayter, second wide line. Meisvei mikembalo kochem. We have a pasuk by Karbanis, Perak Alvin Vayikra. From you, meaning not all of you, could bring Karbanis. Follow kochem, not all of you. Lahotzi es mumar, to exclude a mumar is we do not accept a carbon from a mumar. Mikem bachem chilakti v'lo beumos. And the next word mikem, I have a separation within the Jewish people. There's a difference between a mumar and a non-mumar, but not in the umos. Meaning we accept Karbanis from Goyim. Period. Right, only olos, the Rama Paskins. We said only olos, not shlamims. But we accept from non-Jews, all non-Jews, even if they're over the Avodah Zarah, it sounds like. Right? We're not machalik. That's what the Gemara is saying. Within non-Jews, in terms of whether we accept karbanis from them or not, we accept from them. Min abehema, lahavi b'nei adam shedomin labehema. We accept karbanis from people who act like animals. What does that mean? What does that mean? So Rashi says, fourth wide line, she'ein mekayimin es ha-mitzvahs. They don't keep the Torah. So Jews who don't keep the Torah, the Gemara says, she'domin le-behema. Rashi in Erevin daf samach tes also says, einem makirim bar'om. There is a Gemara in Meseches Erevin where the Gemara says that at a certain point in history, the people turned into monkeys. So I'd like to say that we believe in the opposite of evolution. We don't believe that monkeys turned into humans. We believe that humans can turn into monkeys. Rahman al-Islam, there have been nations throughout history that have lost their Tzelem Elokim. The Germans lost their Tzelem Elokim. Right? They weren't no better than monkeys. The Gemara says that a human being could take his Mechir Chavshis and reach such a low level that they could be on the status of animals. The Gemara says here, Shedomen Lebehema. The opposite we don't believe. Like we quoted in the past, the quote from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said, if Darwin would have ever met the Chafetz Chaim, he would have thrown out his whole theory. Because it's impossible that the Chafetz Chaim had anything to do with any type of development of species. Right? So it's impossible that he would have said his statement. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky quotes that quote in Parshas Kedoshim. Quotes that from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Okay, right there. So we're in the middle of the brisa. Mikan amru. So what do you see from this brisa? Mikablin karbanos miposhi Yisrael. We accept karbanos from the negligent of Israel. Kedeshiyachzu ben b'tshuva. So hopefully they'll do tshuva. Chutz min amumar. Except from a mumar, a total heretic you don't accept karbanos from. Umanase chasayayin umachal shabbas b'farhesya. And those who pour wine to Avodah Zarah, or those that are Mechal Shabbos. This was the whole Brisa. We didn't get to the proof yet. First, we have to try to understand the Brisa. The Brisa had a couple of lines. We excluded Mumar, then we included certain Poshim, then we excluded again. So how do you understand the Brisa? So Hagufakash, the Brisa is inherently contradictory. Amarta mikambalo kolchem lahotzias ha-mumar. The first line excluded a Mumar. Vehadr toni mekablin karbanas miposhi Yisrael. And the next line said, we accept karbanas from those who are Poshim. Isn't that a Mumar too? So the Gemara said, no, halokasha, reisha mumar l'chal ha-Torah kula. The first line is a mumar for the entire Torah. He rejects the authority of the Torah. Mitziasa mumar l'davar echad. The middle line of poshim that we accept karbanis from, that's a mumar for one thing. A person does not accept shatnis. A mumar doesn't just mean he doesn't want to do it. It means that he doesn't think God gave this mitzvah. What a crazy mitzvah is shatnis, chas v'shalom. Right? That's what the first Rashi on the sixth parsha. Right? Because there's certain mitzvahs that the umos olam are moaning against us. Right? So, mumar davar echad. So that we'll accept the shechita. So that's the first two lines of the brisa. Ema seifa, what's the last line of the brisa? Chutz min amumar, umanase chazayin, amachal shabbos b'farhesya. Say, hi mumar echidami. So what's the last line of the brisa talking about? What type of mumar? E mumar l'chal atara kula hainu reisha. That's the first line. V'imu mumar l'davar echad. And if it's a mumar for one thing, sakasha mitziyasa. Then you have a problem, because the middle line said you do accept from them. The third line says you don't accept from them. So what's the third line of the brisa talking about? So el alav hachi ka'amar. It must be the following. Chutz min hamumar. Change the vav to a lamed. Linase chesayayin ulachal shabbosos pefer hesya. The last line is a mumar lavodah zara and a mumar lachal shabbos. Alma. So the first line said, you do not accept from a mumar l'chol tzar kula. The second line, you do accept from a mumar for one thing in life. Third line, but there are two things in life that are specific that you do not accept from. Alma, mumar l'avodas kachavim, havi mumar l'chol tzar kula, v'tzivta d'Rav Anan tzivta. So we knock out Rav Anan, and we accept the fact that if somebody is a mumar l'avodas zara, mumar l'chol Shabbos, they are both considered a mumar l'chol tzar kula, and we do not accept their... We did not accept their shchitas. An important Rashi and an important Mishnah Brura. Rashi here. This Rashi is quoted. Like when they quote, sometimes they quote Rashi's in Chulin. This is one of those Rashis. This is one Rashi. There's a Rashi later on by Matan Schar Betzida, which we'll get to B'ez Hashem in a couple of months. But this Rashi is oft quoted. The comparison between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Second to last line. It's an underlined Rashi. Those who have that view of underlining in their Gemaras. Hai Tana Chamira Le Shabbos Kavodas Kochavim. Shabbos is chamer like avodah zarah. Why? To ha'ovid avodas kochavim kofer ba'kodesh baruch hu. Avodah zarah is kofer ba'Hashem. V'amachal Shabbos, right? It's Yatid Shmaya that this came out on the erev Shabbos, this gemara. V'amachal Shabbos kofer b'maisav u'meyit sheker shalosh shavas hakodesh baruch hu b'maisav bereishis. So Shabbos and avodah zarah are connected, right? And Rashi quotes because both of them are denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Berurah is Hakdama to Hilchos Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah has two Hakdamas. He has Hakdama to all of Halacha, beginning of Chelag Aleph, and he has a Hakdama to Dafka Chelag Gimel. And there he talks about the uniqueness of Hilchos Shabbos, the importance of learning Hilchos Shabbos, but he also quotes two Halachas that reflect that the importance of Shabbos. Two ideas. One is a Kabbalistic idea, where he talks about how every mitzvah is connected to a certain part of our body, the Rabbi Chivarim and the Shas Agidim, and some are connected to parts of our body that we can't live without, and some are connected to what that we can live. So there are certain mitzvahs that are connected to our pinky and our earlobe, and certain, right, important to have them, but you can live without them, but certain mitzvahs that are connected to the heart and the lungs and certain parts of our body that we cannot live without. And he says, obviously, Shabbos is connected to one of those. Shabbos is the Jewish's identity, Osi B'nei V'Nechem. But then he quotes, there's another halacha that reflects the fact, the basic nature of Shabbos. That's our Gemara. Mumar to any other Avera is not a mumar l'chol tzar kula. There's only two. Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, you understand. You reject the whole system. But Shabbos, right, and some Rishonim, I'm not going to get into it, some Rishonim say Yom Kippur also. Because Shabbos Shabbosom. Right, so it could be Yom Kippur also. But either way, that's the important Hakdama. If you never went through the Hakdama, it's a way to go through over Shabbos. Just two pages, beautiful Hakdama, the importance of Hilchos Shabbos, but he quotes our Gemara right there. The importance of Mumar l'Shabbos, Mumar l'Chol Tzar Kula. Vayter. We don't have time. The Achronim here discuss also an important thought of whether a Machal l'Shabbos before Hesia can be counted for a minion. Because the Gemara says here that a Mumar l'Chol Shabbos, we don't accept as Karbanis. And Tefillah is connected Karbanis. So could you accept a Machal l'Shabbos for a minion? So, but b'mezit b'shogeg. If somebody's a kanshe nishba, so then we assume the minhag olam is to accept it. Machlokas achronim, but we accept them. And somebody once told me there are sometimes there are Shabbos Jews, there are Shani Yom Kippur Jews, and there are weekday mincha Jews. You know, those Jews at the offices that they grab them in for a minyan just to have them on a weekday, but they don't go to shul. They don't. So they have the weekday mincha Jews. Right, they have a schus. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, they have a schus. But so counting it for minyanim, that's an important. Because if you say tefillah is connected karbanis, a karbanis, we reject the karbanis, so could we accept it for a minyan? Instead, the Binyan Siyan and others. You got to look at the Binyan Siyan is the one that's mekel, the Aruch Laner. Chelik Beis Simen Yuchav Gimel. Okay, we have to move. So Gemara says. So what do we prove? Lamaisa that a mumar l'avodah zarah is we do not accept his karbanis. So v'hamehacha nafka, was this the raya? This pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra mehacha l'asam nafka. The source is a different source. Me'am ha'aretz prat lo mumar. The pasuk says in Perek Dalet of Vayikra by Karban Chatas. Perek Aleph is Karban Ola, right? Aleph is Ola. Perek Beis is Mincha. Perek Gimel gets into Shlamim and Perek Dalet is Chatas. So me'am ha'aretz prat lo mumar. That mem excludes mumar. Reb Shimon ben Yosi Omer. Mishum Rebbe Shimon. Asher lo se asena bishgaga v'ashem. Hashav mi yediaso mevi Karban ashigagaso. What we darshan from that pasuk, that anybody who would have done shuva had he known about it, brings a carpet for his shogeg, eino shav mi yediaso, eini mi yivi carpet asher gaso. If somebody wouldn't have done shuva anyway, cannot bring a carbon. So, 2 days in the brisa, v'yamrina mabinaya, before we finish the brisa, what's the difference between these two bandamars? They both say a mumar is excluded. The first bandamar said we exclude mumar, the second bandamar said we exclude someone who wouldn't have done shuva had he known about it. that it was treif. So what's the difference? Famar Rav Hamnuna, mumar le'echol chelev, v'hevi karban al hadam, ikabinayu. The difference is, let's say somebody has a mumar to eat chelev. He does not believe in the isra of eating non-kosher fats. Can he bring a karban on achilas dam? So, on the one hand, he has the status of a mumar. So the first mandamer would have said he cannot bring a karban. But the second mandamer says, if he would have known about it, he wouldn't have done the avera, then he's allowed to bring a karban. So here, he wouldn't have done the avera. So that's why he's allowed to bring a karban. So that's enough kamina between the two. But either way, you see from this brisa that there's a different pasuk to tell me about mumar being excluded. Not like perak aleph of ayikra. So the gemara answers, chad b'chad b'chad b'ola. You need perak aleph and perak dalet, because perak aleph is about Ola, Perak Aleph and Vayikra is Ola, and this pasuk here is Perak Dalet, about Chatas. So you need a pasuk by each of them to exclude Mumar. Why? V'tzrichi, D'iyash Minan Chatas. If I only have a pasuk excluding Chatas, then a Mumar cannot bring a Chatas. Mishum Del Kaparahu. Because we're not going to allow him to have a Kapara. Because he's a Mumar. He doesn't believe in it. Aval Ola de Doronu, but Ola, which is a present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, in a certain way, we discussed back in Tzvachim, that Ola is Machaper on Lavanita Glaseis and Bita Glaseis, but fundamentally, we discussed that length then, that a Chatas is Bala Chapara, and Hashem is Bala Chapara, not an Ola. And Ola is a present to Hashem. It's voluntary. Same with Kabamine. He's bringing a present. You know what? You might as well take it from him. So that's why you need the pasuk to exclude Mumar from Ola. V'yesh minan Ola, and if I would have heard that Mumar is excluded from Ola, mishum dalav chiyubahu. Because there, that's voluntary. You know what? He doesn't have to bring this, don't accept it. Aval chatas de chiyubahu, eima lekabel minei. But a chatas, which he has to bring, you know what? Let's let him bring it. He has to bring it. After all, Rashi adds, shalo yehe chote niskar. What, he's going to save a buck because he's a Mumar? Please take his carbon. So tzricha, that's why you need a pasuk, both by Chatas and by Ola, to teach me that you don't accept a carbon by Mumar. These are good Havaminas. You gotta figure out what the Maskanas are. La Maskana, the fact that we don't know how to accept a Mumar, that overrides Chote Niskar. Overrides it. We'd rather not give him the Kapara. Right, Tzricha, so you need both. We don't have time to go through it all right now, but if you want to look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva Paragimel, he goes through all the types of Apikarsim. And Mumars, and if you reject Tarmin HaShemayim, if you reject the power of Nevi'im, you reject everything. Because there he talks about all the people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow them to repent, those that don't have Olam Haba. It's Paragimel of Hilchos Tshuva. All the types of heretics. What's the difference between a Min, and a Bikaris, and a Meshumid, all the different types of Lashonos. That's the Rabbah of Hilchos Tshuva, relates to this Gemara. Vayter. Continuing. So Gemara says, V'kol hecha d'ksiv behemak riusahi. One second. So we just said that in the Agadic part of Amud Aleph, that a person is compared to an animal, and that's something that's negative. Right? The Pasuk said, Mina behema, lavi b'nei shadoban la behema. So now the Gemara just goes off in a little tangent that says, V'kol hecha d'ksiv behema griusahi. Every time it says the word behema, it's a negative. V'haksiv adamu behema toshiya Hashem. Pasuk says that we say by Mincha on Shabbos, Adamu Behema, Hashem's going to save a man and an animal. V'yam Rav Yudam Arav, Rav Darshas on that Pasuk, Elu B'nei Adam, Shein Arumin B'da'as. These are people. What does it mean, Adam and Behema? It's about one person, somebody who is clever in wisdom like a person, U'mesimenas like a Behema, but they hold themselves like an animal, meaning they're humble. So this Pasuk puts Behema with Adam, but it's a compliment. Adam, who holds himself like a behema, he keeps himself low like a behema. Or, if you want to add in, I saw the Ramban Vayikra, right, Karbanus, we think of ourselves as if it's our blood being spilled, and our goof being brought on the Mizbeach. So if we think of ourselves as a behema in certain senses, so that's a good thing. So what do you mean that being like a behema is a negative, like we had in Amud Aleph? So where is it? No, Hasam Ksiv Adam U Behema. Hacha Behema Lechudei Ksiv. If it says Adam U Behema, that could be a good thing. Right, Adam that hold himself like a behema, but plain behema, you know, we could darshan that a person who acts like a behema is a negative. Mark continues, "Well, hechad k'siv Adam behema mal yusehi." Again, if it says Adam behema, it's a good thing. Then v'k'siv is arati as basi Yisrael zera Adam zera behema. By Yirmiyahu talking about the galus, the negative, he says, "I'm gonna spread out basi Yisrael zera Adam zera behema," which is a negative. So where it says hasam hochel kekra, the pasuk differentiate. Zera Adam Lachud, Vizera Behema Lachud. Okay, so it's a chiluk between the language. If you're going to look it up, again, I don't have it here, but I saw it called the Beis Halevi. I think we might have mentioned this in a previous year at some point. The Beis Halevi on Parshas Lech Lecha talks about this pasuk of Adam Behema Toshia Hashem, and he says that being an Eved Hashem, we have to be an Adam, meaning try to use our wisdom and our seichel to try to understand everything that we have to do, but ultimately, kebehema toshi Hashem. We have to be nimshach acharecha kebehema, and even if we don't understand something, we have to just follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu without our das, just like a behema follows his master who pulls him with his leash. That's the Beis HaLevi, and Lech Lecha discusses that. Where are we? Simon Niklaf. Getting back to maskanas of what we've been discussing the past two blot, Mumar and Kusi. So, Rabbi Gamliel ubezido nimnu al shchitas Kusi va'asruha. Rabbi Gamliel and his bezdin got together and decided that the shchita of a Kusi, a real Kusi. We've said sometimes Kusi is used in a flexible way to mean non-Jew, but here Kusi means Kusi. From the Kusim, the nation that was put in, the Algeri Arias, or Geri Emes. So they asked the shchitas Kusi, which we'll see by the Hashem. We'll all see tomorrow. Shabbos is not the story of why the Kusim were totally treated like Goyim. But we'll see that. That's on tomorrow's daf. But Shchitas Kusi Vasruah. So Amalei Reb Zeir Lerav Yaakov Bar Idi. Shema Lo Shema Rebbe Ela B'Sheidi Sol Omen Al Gabav. Maybe Rebbe Gamliel only asked when there was no Jew watching him. Did he ask her totally? Maybe he only asked when there was no Jew watching him. But if it was Jew watching him, it would be okay. He's not like a total Goy. A Goy, even if a Jew is watching him, you can't eat from the Shchita. So Amar Le, so Rav Yaakov says back to Rav Zeira. These are one of the lines that you wonder how these are in the Gemara. Dami Aimei Rabbanan Kedlo Garmi Incha Shmaitza. Seems like you never opened up a Gemara in your life with that kind of question. So the Chavos Yair, we always like to quote as a tshuva, where he takes all the insults in the Gemara and tries to re-understand them. That they're not really. You must have been sleeping that day in Shir, right? You must not have opened up a Gemara in your life. That's what Gemara says. But he says he hasn't. So he says to Reb Zeira, I don't understand. B'she'ein Yisrael omen agabav l'meimer boy. They came up with a takana. You can't trust a kusi shchita. What if there was a Jew? If they're only answering where a Jew is watching, they had to say that. Of course, that would be mutter. So it must be that it's all inclusive. So kibla minei lo kibla minei. Did Reb Zeira accept this? Meaning, it was told to Reb Zeira that Reb Gamliel asked Shchitas Kusi, period. Did he accept this? So Tashma, there was a later story. I saw Reb Yochanan eat from the Shchita of a Kusi. And Reb Asi did also. Reb Zeira wondered about their behavior. Did they not hear about Reb Gamliel's Gzeira? Because if had they heard about it, they wouldn't have eaten from the Shchita of a Kusi. Or did they know about it, but they didn't accept it? Reb Zeira was wondering this. Rashi says, La'atzmo. Reb Zeira was thinking to himself. He saw Reb Asi. He saw Reb Yochanan eat from Shchita's Kusi. And he thought to himself, did they not hear? Were they not in Shir that day? Or were they in Shir, but they argued? Then he said to himself, you know what? It must be Mistavar de Shamilu v'lo Kiblu. It must be that he just weren't in Shir that day. Why? Because if they just hadn't heard it, and it was all a shogeg, how would God have allowed that to happen? How would God have allowed them to eat something that was treif by accident? Why? Famous line. If the animals of tzaddikim, Hashem protects. We're going to get to the stories of the Gemara of certain animals of the Amoraim that wouldn't eat grain that was tevel. Right? So if the animals are protected by God with a special siyata d'shmaya, tzaddikim atzmen lo kol shekein. Tzaddikim themselves surely are protected. So it must be, said Reb Zeira to himself, that they heard it and they argued. Just finishing up, and now we're getting to the raya of Reb Zeira himself. If it's true that Reb Zeira did not accept what was told to him, that it was an all blank Zeira, so literally, why didn't he think to himself, maybe they only ate from Shkidas Kusi that they saw? So it must be Reb Zeira accepted what was told to him. Just one other line, because we're not going to talk about it tomorrow. I would save it. We could spend 20 minutes on the line of maybe Takala al Yedehen, but Tosus at least says there are a lot of Gemaras that talk about Amoraim that seem to have done something inappropriate. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says Yehuda ben Tabai killed an Eid Zomain by accident. Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara in Shabbos, that he said, I'm not worried, I'm going to read by a candle, I'm not going to be mata it, and then he was mata it. A lot of Gemaras. So Tosas comes up with the Yisod that this principle only applies to food. There's a special siyata of the Shmaya. Tosas on the bottom of the previous Amud. The Ri says, Dafka by food, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special siyata of the Shmaya that he protects tzaddikim. That they, or even their animals, aren't going to ingest treif. Why? Because that even shogig is metamte malev. Other averis, nobody's perfect. Everybody does averis. But dafka by food, Tosva says, dafka midi d'achila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bevi takala, yadav shegenayhu letzadik she'ochel dvar iser. Right, all the Rishonim discuss this. What about Gezel? Rav Elchanan discusses in Psachim. Does Gezel, is that inherently usher? That's called a Takala, right? Or the Yosef Engel discusses, what about Esther Amalka? Esther Amalka says she had to eat certain types of foods because she had no choice. So he has a beautiful chiluk between Ones and Shogeg. Ones, you have to do it because you're forced to do it. That might not be called a Maisa Aveir at all. That's not called a Dvar Takala. Mashenkin Shogeg, where you don't know about it, that might be a Maisa Aveir. It's a real carbon for a Shogeg. So maybe a Chalik between Shogeg and Onis. Again, there's a lot here, but we'll have to stop here. Everybody should have a good Shabbos. I'm going to try to get, if I have time today, there's a lot going on today, but if I have time today, if not, maybe tomorrow night, I wanted to give a shiur about the day of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, which is tomorrow. The discussions about how we view that Shabbos comma Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos hyphenated Rosh Chodesh. So hopefully we'll have a chance. If not today, maybe I'll try to get it up tomorrow night. A daf be'in shir related to the Inyana Dioma. Okay, we'll stop here. Everybody should have a good Shabbos.